it's another edition of Library Guys
and Gals
Go to the Movies. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
To the right, stand up, sit down, fright, fright, fright. This is just one of the taglines for the movie we'll be reviewing today, which is Return to Horror High, made in 1987. Hello, it is Library Gals Go to the Movies. I am Via, here with my podcast co-host. Ooh, I said that without messing up. I am shocked.
Hi, it's Katie. How's it going? We're really happy to be back in the booth, as they say, recording our Return to Horror High episode. I'm sure you all missed me desperately
last month.
The topic at hand was Dungeons and Dragons and Tom Hanks.
Did you listen to it yet?
I listened to a lot of it. I skipped the Tom Hanks parts.
So did you approve of... Oh, yeah, right. So everything but the beginning and
exactly.
The end. Did you approve of my summary of your feelings?
Yes, yes.
Good.
They were accurate.
Good.
They were perfectly accurate. I do not need to defend my feelings, I don't think, in any way. And I'm glad to sit that one out, frankly.
Yeah. And now you were the one that recommended this movie, and it was a very good choice. So you come back. You're coming back strong.
Back strong.
The one we love.
We are returning to our roots once again to talk about a terrible, terrible movie.
Yeah.
This one does come with a bit of a disclaimer. This is a pretty hard R-rated movie. Think of your typical teen slasher. There is plenty of nudity, questionable language, some sex scenes. So this is not for younger audiences, just so you're aware. We'll keep the podcast clean, but the movie is not clean. Quite in the genre of a teen slasher, especially because it was one set in a high school. And really, we chose this movie because it is back to school season.
Yeah.
I bet you're all back in your routines, back to classes, back to all that fun stuff. So we are returning to Horror High.
What better way to go back to school than to traumatize you?
Exactly. So what did you think of this movie? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before. I'd heard of it many times. And I liked it way more than I expected to.
Uh-huh.
And it was a lot smarter than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Which shocked me and made me like it even more. I think that, you know, we chose a good segue with, like, some bad movie reviews recommended by our patrons, which is always fun. And now we're coming into Halloween next month, which is super exciting for us. So we've got a good blend here. And I usually, you know, I like a good handful of B and even lower in the alphabet movies, just like you. So I'm always happy to, especially horror ones, I'm always happy to dive in. And I haven't watched a slasher for a while, so... it was funny, though, because you do... Yeah, it's very true what you say. Lots of boobs, lots of slashy-slashy. But it didn't, in the portrayal of the story, which we'll get into, it didn't have a lot of... gore, like real gore.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was funny because, you know, just like in the old school storytelling, you know, it does like the plot of the movie on the beginning of the screen at the beginning. So since you chose it, I thought I typed it up for you and I thought I would let you go ahead and dramatically do a dramatic reading of what this movie's about.
I will be happy to do that. This was the opening shot that we see a screen of text. In 1982, a series of brutal murders rocked Crippen High School. The killer was never apprehended. 3 months ago, Cosmic Pictures went to the town of Crippen to film the story of what actually happened, making the movie in the very halls of the now abandoned school. They were not alone.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then you expect like a giant like knife slash across the screen.
And you don't get
you don't get that.
You do get the title just zooming in, like splatting itself onto the screen and all its like drippy font choice, you know, red font, capital letters, and it starts just instantly playing this loud, intense, spooky music,
spooky.
And it starts rolling through all the credits.
Yes.
So it just like da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You're in it. You're in it right away.
Da-da.
And like you said, like this really is a smart movie. So this was a surprise to me, the kind of early, I don't know if you'd call it a twist, but like the framing of this movie. So we know that we're going to be following a film crew, but it goes from the police arriving on scene of the film crew being murdered, which is also ridiculously funny because they don't know how many people died.
Yeah.
They keep finding body parts and they're like, it was six. No, seven. Hi, it might have been eight. We just keep finding pieces of them.
And there's the one part where they think that they see a body moving under one of the tarps. Like, oh no, like somebody's still alive. And they go and they pull it open, like pull it out, and there's a man's arm. And he's like, what a second. Like, this was a woman. Yeah, but this is a man's arm. Well, there were so many missing body parts, we had to just kind of mix and match some of them together.
Like, this one was missing an arm, so we gave him this dude's arm.
That was so great.
It was so great. But then it transitions from, so they have a well, actually, we need to mention the cameo here. I don't know if you picked up on it, but one of the cops...
I hope it's the... Yes! Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, there was a cop who was played by Marsha Brady.
Yeah, OG Marsha Brady.
OG Marsha Brady. And my gosh, her role was actually hysterical. I mean, I don't know if she was told to play it for comedy, but first of all, she's always eating something.
Yeah.
Or she's, like, removing clothing.
She's getting super, like, she gets super turned on the more she's covered in blood. It's, like, the more she gets into the case. She's, like, all of us people that, like, love watching serial killer documentaries. And, like, yes, we're all really, like, cop Marsha Brady.
I'm super into this. And especially when she's, like, walking around a field of dead bodies eating a chili dog. And chili is, like, spilling out.
And it drops on her co-partners.
It was ridiculous.
Thing.
And, yeah, they are... so comedy is obviously set up right away, but it's also odd comedy. You're like, is this funny? I don't know what's happening
here. I'll get more into that, but mm-hmm. I thought this movie was very purposely funny. Like, it was not supposed to be serious in any way.
Yeah.
But I did, when we were watching, like, with the cop thing, I was like, I know her so well. And I kept thinking, like, oh, she reminds me of, like, a 70s version of Christine Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Ben Stiller's ex-wife, because Christine Taylor played Marsha Brady in the 90s satirical Brady Bunch movies,
yes,
which I love. And then, yeah, when I looked her up, I was like, of course, like, it is the actual Marsha Brady. Like,
this is why.
So I was super excited about that. But yeah, it was not meant to be a serious movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely funny. Like, I feel like her alone as a cop, like, she brought in kind of the first notes to me that it was definitely not supposed to be a serious movie. And tell me if you picked up on this too, but like, I almost feel like this was a very early horror satire that I was surprised they were making in the time that they were making the film.
Mm-hmm.
And also how, like, female progressive it was with some of the scenes.
Yeah. So what happens is we kind of have this scene that goes into the hallways of the high school. So now we've entered Crippen High.
I hate that name, by the way.
It's so weird.
It bugged me the whole time, and I kept trying to be like, is it supposed to sound creepy? Because it kind of sounds like crypt, or like what's, like, I don't know what they were doing with that.
Crippen is an odd, I don't know if it's a real place either. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Kind of don't, I don't think so, but so we go into the halls of the school, and then I can't remember exactly what the moment is, but there's another cop, like an actual cop who they are following down the hallway, and he opens up a door, and essentially we transition from real life current day into the filming of the movie, where this police officer has been hired in to be the consultant for the town. He was there when the murders happened originally, and suddenly he's walking onto the set of a scene that's being shot and ruins the shot, and then we're introduced to the entire film crew, including a very handsome George Clooney.
And this, I found out, was indeed his debut movie role.
Like, amazing.
He had been in some TV shows, but this was, like, the first movie. So I love, like, one of my favorite things is learning about stuff like that, like how John Travolta's first, like, movie debut was Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we've got Clooney, who, one of the bigger things, I guess, he was in before this was, like, he was on Facts of Life for two seasons.
Yeah.
Which... I actually loved that show. I watched that show a lot, but I don't remember him being in it at all.
He was also on, I think around this time, maybe before, there was a second show, an earlier precursor to ER.
That's
called
okay.
ER.
I was very confused. I saw that, yeah. And I was like, that's not the same one, though. So, yes, yeah. I was confused by
it. It was a comedy. It was a 30-minute sitcom about life in a crazy ER, and it was hilarious.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was really funny. You can't find it anywhere. It's not streaming, I don't think. Huh. And he was on there. He played the nephew of the woman who worked the front desk, and he rode a motorcycle. He was kind of early Uncle Jesse from Full House
okay.
on that show, and he had the hair that he has in this movie. It's like this
bouffant
pompadour kind of thing going on, which in silhouette, what you see in the movie is absolutely perfect. It's just like this big puff of hair.
Yeah. I was saying, like, it's funny because his face, like, today doesn't look extremely different from how he looked, but, like, he really learned how to better the hair. Like, the hair was a mood.
And I also think that from this, he's probably in his early 20s and kind of now has grown into, like, his grown-up man body where he's kind of spread out a little bit.
His face
is wider.
His eyebrows. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's, like, when you have, like, men that have really, or, like, just people in general, but, like a guy with, like, a really prominent eyebrows, when you see them when they're really young, the eyebrows just look like that's the whole face.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, it was very fun to watch him. And it was, you know, he plays one of the actors, and lots of the actors play actors, very meta.
Mm-hmm.
And the most exciting thing is that George Clooney is our stereotypical himbo. He is the first
yes,
to die.
He is.
Which is very exciting. He goes down a hallway, things start to get a little like creepy, and he's like, is anybody there? Hey, buddy. And he wanders down the hallway, and he ends up getting, like, pulled into a room, and you don't see a lot of what's happening to him. You just see in the end, like, his face getting pushed against the tiny window in the door,
mm-hmm.
and then he, you know, you hear some, like, cracking. I'm guessing, like, they, like, break his back or something, and he just kind of slowly slides down the window a la, like, Rose's hand in Titanic, but less romantic.
Right.
And you're just like, that's it. Like, George Clooney is in the movie for, like, what, 15 tops?
Maybe 15, and then he is reduced to a puddle of blood seeping out from under a door.
Yep. And then eventually the janitor cleans him. Like, you see the janitor cleaning up spills, or, like, I don't think they show his face. It's, like, you're supposed to assume it's the janitor's, like, bucket and thing.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, they only they show the blood, but then they show, like, he lost one tooth. Like, there's
right.
just a single tooth laying on the floor.
One tooth remains. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so then the movie kind of goes on from there, going back and forth between on-set scenes and, like, depicting former murders or former clue finding, and then actual members of the cast and crew getting murdered. And they do it in a kind of a smart way.
It was, like, confusing.
It was.
In the kind of, which I also think was funny, too, because the Arthur, the screenwriter, talks about how he wants it to be, like, a big psychological film.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start playing with techniques like that in the movie. And so, yeah, there were definitely times where I was like, I can't tell. Wait, is this the real teacher, or is this the actor? Or, and then, you know, they always pull, like, they got a lot of gotcha moments in it, but they always, like, revealed it, and then you were like, oh, you know, so it always came back around and showed you what it was. It's just, like, in the moment you get confusing for a bit,
right? And the transitions can be a little sloppy, or, like, they will be clearly on a set, pan around a room, and then when they pan out of that scene, the whole crew is there mm-hmm. in the place where you just saw them.
Yeah.
Like, that was impossible. But I think that's part of the sort of their idea of suspending disbelief, to be like, look, we're shooting a movie. Isn't it like you're really here?
Right.
But it's, it, like, did get a little muddy after a while. To be,
yes,
like, wait.
Yes.
What just happened?
A lot happens in this movie.
A lot happens.
Yeah. I love at the beginning when the cops first arrive to the set, the screenwriter is sitting on, like, the steps, and he has a flashlight under his chin, like he's telling a campfire story.
Mm-hmm. And he's, like, flipping it on and off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And he's sort of catatonic.
Yeah. And he asked him, he's like, what kind of movie are you making in there? And I instantly was like, a snuff film. Like, it's
yes.
like everybody's dying.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the janitor, too. The funny thing was that the janitor is always there. Like, they're on set. They've turned this abandoned high school into their movie set. So why is the high school janitor still there?
Exactly. And the amount of time, I think part of it was the confusion for me, too. It's like, because I wasn't sure if we were looking at school days or film set or if, like, school was still, which I don't know why I thought that was a positive. It just, this movie messes with you enough for me to, like, not even question that until the end.
Right? Yeah, that was, like, one of my early notes was, like, this pervy janitor is just hanging around this empty school where all these kids die. All right, yeah. Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, there were definitely some, like, stuff that did not date well, you know, in the movie.
Yeah, it's not it's funny. Like, there are scenes where you're like, ugh, this is so skeevy, even for a slasher horror movie. Mm. But there are some redeeming moments where, like, yes. The lead actress in the movie kind of gets to stand up for herself and be like... Like, there's this scene where the star quarterback wants to sleep with her and has her pinned down in the backseat of his car, and it's going along, and you're like, wait, what is happening?
This one got me good.
Really intense moment where you're like, oh, we're about to watch her get raped.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's like, what is going on? Because the producer of the movie, who is also head skis... His arm comes in through the car door and starts, like, pulling her shirt down so you can see her more of her cleavage. And you're like, whoa, no. Like, this is actually filming a scene of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then the actress kind of has a moment where she's like, I'm not doing this.
She's like, this is degrading. And then she says, I think this is probably one of my favorite visual jokes, is she says, like, what's the thing you're going to do next? Like, rub ice on my, you know, nipples to make them stick up? And then you see a guy holding an ice bucket walking onto set, and he just instantly turns around and walks away. Because that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yep. So you get this moment of, like, the actress really actually getting to stand up for her, character and just for the idea of what scene they were producing anyways. Like, oh, you're not, they're basically glamorizing rape to make her look more sexy, and that is just not kosher or sexy. And she's like, heck no, that's not what we're here for. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the big moments where I was like, oh, this movie has more to it than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, it's a little more brains than I expected. I'm curious to know, because there was one scene that not just got me, like, psychologically, but I had a pretty decent jump scare. Did you have any jump scares?
Was it after the romantic scene?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
There was, for me, there was one scene in that where a couple people are in the, and these are actual actors, so they are sort of the interstitial deaths, not the filmed deaths. Where one of the jocks is following, which is, they kind of pulled, like, the dollar bill on a string trick for him. They start pulling, like, a tube or, I don't know, like, a pipe across the floor.
It was, like, the shop class.
Yeah, it was in shop, and he sees it, and he's like, oh, what's that? And starts following it and following it and following it. And then he gets to, like, a gravel pit. Which I have no idea why that's in the middle of the shop.
Yeah, it looks like a big sandbox.
And he ends up, like, getting pulled into it. And there was, like, a music sting, of course. It's design jump scare, but I legitimately jumped. I did not expect him to get sucked into a gravel pit.
Sometimes they still get you.
They do.
I was expecting the hand to come out. Mm-hmm. So there's a hand that jumps out, and it's, like, it's the like... just did dishes glove that, like, the killer's been wearing, so you recognize them. And he just, like, grabs his face and pulls him in the sandbox. And I was waiting for it, but
yeah, it got me.
That's great.
And prior to that, I think it was right before that there was someone who also, oh no, it was right after, another of the guy who played the football jock ends up getting somehow strung up from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which is very, they kind of pull, like, a Bugs Bunny trick where he steps into a rope and then a weight just pulls him up. But there was no trigger. He just ends up in the air kind of unexpectedly.
Yeah.
But it's the longest death scene because a propeller is coming towards him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, like, the slowest moving propeller.
I was really, like, nervous. I was like, is this going to be the first time we get some real, like, intense gore? Every time a real death happens, a cutaway scene happens. So you might have, like, some fake blood that's, like, tricking on the movie set that, like, replaces that.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they did that part really well.
And they did have a great line, which I thought was hilarious, where I think it's the producer says everyone loves a good gross out because they're discussing how much blood is going to be in the movie. And I was like, that's not wrong.
He also, I think it's the same character that says, he's like a, you know, the reason people come and see these type of movies is because they want to see, like, boobs and death. Like, mm-hmm. they want to see blood. Like, it's like guts and boobs. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that is a classic, for those classic slasher movies, that it's exactly, you've pinpointed it.
Yes.
Apparently, though, what was her name? Lori Lethen? The one who plays the, like, main girl on the set. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a joke in this, too, that I did not even realize, I think because of the confusion. But she plays three characters.
She does.
She plays Callie Cassidy, Sarah Walker, and Susan. And earlier in the movie, there's a joke about that where he's like, come on, all you gotta do is, like, put different wigs on them and they can play as many as they want. I did not catch that until I was writing my notes for this later. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, they did it. They got me.
But yeah. She apparently, like, really had a good time on this set. I found a quote by her where she said, she really enjoyed playing three different characters. They just slapped different wigs on me, and I got to play all the different characters. It was really fun. That was probably one of the best times I had working on a movie because it was lighthearted. And so it does sound like the whole cast had a lot of fun. And that was, I looked up, and that's one of the last movies she ever did.
Oh.
She wasn't in a whole lot. She was, like, in some horror movies. She was in, like, some TV things. And then she's, like, in this, and then she's in maybe another thing in 87, then she's in something in 90, and then she's not in anything else until 99, and that was her last role.
Okay.
So she retired, and I actually found out, because I was like, oh, did something bad? But no, she's still alive. Apparently, in 99, she retired from film, and she went to college and earned a degree in clinical psychology.
Oh.
So, and she's apparently, as of 2012, which I found this, she apparently to this day is a neurologist for helping recovering drug addicts and alcoholics.
That's wonderful. Yeah. What was her name again?
Lori Lethen.
Awesome. Yeah. I wonder if she still is tight with George Clooney.
I wonder.
So, you know, we go back and forth between kind of movie set hijinks and filming murders and real life murders, and after a while it does get super convoluted.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what's real and what's not, and there is a reason for that. Kind of towards the end there's, you know, even a bigger twist, which mm-hmm. spoiler alert, we are going to talk about the okay. twist ending.
I was reading through it. I'm like, yeah. I almost want to not ruin it.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't. What do you think?
It
is good.
It's so good. And it's so, like, it's like a twist within a twist within a twist.
Uh-huh.
But it's so fun to talk about also. I don't know. For the first time, I kind of think that we should not.
All right. That's fair. You know what? If you want to know the twist, go watch this movie.
Yeah. I highly encourage the watching of this movie.
Yes.
But we will say, I was right. I had a suspicion.
Uh-huh.
I got tricked, you know, like once or twice, and you know why, but then mm-hmm. in the end, I ended up being right. I was pretty proud of myself, because I never do that.
Oh, I never figured it out.
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, one of the other funny things, too, is, like, one that, like, obviously, these were all, like, the gags that clearly gave this away, is, so, in the very beginning, they show, like, the first naked woman, and then they, like, one of the actors or, like, production crew, like, tears off her boob,
mm-hmm.
and it's a prosthetic to, like, make her look like she has a bigger chest, and they're saying, like, you know, why are you doing that? Like, we don't need that, and the guy just, like, throws the prosthetic, and then they switch to a different scene. The boob flies in from the corner and explodes, and I don't understand.
It's so ridiculous.
It was so funny. But I was like, it was like an explosive prosthetic boob. Like, what was going to happen to the character?
They really make the whole on-set, like, shenanigans are, like, high-level shenanigans.
Yes.
Like, the whole crew. There's another scene where they end up, they're trying to figure something out, and they go into the bathroom, and the whole bathroom is full of smoke, and you're like, okay, everyone's getting high in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the director comes out, and maybe the writer comes out, but then they're standing there having a conversation, and then one by one, the entire film crew exits one stall of the bathroom, where it makes it look like they have just had, like, the clown car
yeah.
of a clam bake in the boys' bathroom, where everyone's getting high, and then they all keep coming. I mean, like, probably 15 people come
I
out of that bathroom,
that,
and
that
it was really
so
funny.
Yeah, definitely. My favorite one is when, it's so hard for me to keep the characters straight,
mm-hmm.
but the was it the director? I think it's one of the curly haired guys, but one of the writers or one of the producers is talking about like, where are we, like, what are we doing with this movie? Like, what are we trying to make? And he starts explaining it and he's like, it's like, here's the plot and like, here's what we have to do. And like, he just keeps using a bunch of fancy movie slang words and he slowly starts like walking backwards as he's explaining it. And you think he's going to get to something. And then you realize he's just like filling time and using a bunch of words. And then he just slowly backs out the doors and they close in front of him. And the scene stops. And I was like, that is so perfect.
That
for some reason was the funniest pull away, you know, gag for me.
So while all of these things are happening, more and more we start seeing the killer.
Yes.
And the killer, I have to say, is kind of scary. The mask that the killer
wears is like
a white kind of rubber mask, but the features are almost like a tragedy mask in the drama. Tragedy, like downturned mouth, kind of downturned eyes, but also a little bit looks like it's melting. Not a mask of anything I've ever seen. Like, they find it's really creepy.
Yeah,
but then
melty is a good word, yeah.
Where, like you said, doing the dishes gloves. So the gloves are just like found at the hardware store or whatever, and they are kind of silly. And then a black jacket and pants, but like legit creepy.
Yeah,
I feel like
absolutely,
like, really had some effect there.
And he got me there's a really like funny, like, the romance scene of the movie has like two of the actors who have kind of gone on investigation mode and are trying to figure out what really happened, because they catch on to, they think the killer might still be in the halls. And so they have like a romantic scene while they're investigating and going over their clues. And it goes from like the one actor cop going like, I could be the killer, to them like making out while there's like drilling and like construction going on outside.
And welding.
Yes,
lots of welding.
Like, lots of welding.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start like, you know, getting it on with each other. And then the lights go out, but then the effects from the like lit up welding is creating like flashes during this. And they keep, so they're bored of investigative papers. Just turns out to be like kids' coloring book drawings, and they just keep flashing to it, and it is the most like, it's like, this is not meant to, you know, it's meant to be like, ooh, like sexy scene.
Yes.
And then like you're very much like, well, that's what is happening here.
That's what happened.
Yeah,
apparently.
They kept going back to the lion, and that one for some reason cracked me up.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
But
and
then
so they do like the killer comes.
Uh-huh.
And it's when his face pops up in the window that like that one got me for
yeah.
some reason. She pulls it up and he's just like staring there with his face right in there.
So was that the part? So I had something here and I kind of forgot already that there is a dream sequence there.
Yes.
Is the killer in the dream or is that in real life?
I think
I forget.
That moment I can't remember at this point, but I think he's in both.
Okay.
Like because the guy goes out into the hall and then the girl tries to escape, and I think she's escaping from the killer, and you see him. She jumps into a car, and the, like, janitor pops up and, like...
Oh, he decapitates
her. Yeah, then he just, like, decapitates her, and then she wakes up, and it was all a dream.
That's right.
But then, like, I think that he's really outside their door.
And
so
he
maybe
actually, like,
real.
Decapitates her with his bare hands. Like, he just, like, reaches over, and her head pops off.
It was
great.
Nuts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, what was your favorite... Like, or what do you think was the best, or what was your favorite death scene in this?
I think it was the guy getting sucked into the gravel pit.
Okay,
just
yeah.
because I was like, oh, that got me. Like, I did not
yeah.
expect that coming.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, him chasing just a random piece of trash
right.
through the shop. I thought that one was really good.
I would instantly be like, no, I'm not following that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's like something's happening.
Exactly. What about you?
I liked the one, and this is such a simple one, but it got me so bad, is the one where he... Like, all you see is, there's two characters talking, and all you see is a shadow behind a door, and the killer uses an axe, and you just see the shadow of an axe go up and chop this guy, and then you see his head just, like fly up in the air and fall back down.
Yes.
And that, like, just them having a normal conversation and while that's happening in the background was just so comical to me.
It's so ridiculous.
It's my favorite one. It's so quick, too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I don't even remember who that person was. Like, at some point,
like,
basically, everyone just starts dying.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so... And I feel like a lot of the, like... white curly-haired actors look very similar,
yes.
and I could not tell them apart sometimes. It was very funny.
It's so good. So then we get to this point where this, through the through line, we have a janitor who is randomly popping up and cleaning and mopping up blood with a bloody mop and is just kind of weird and goofy and around all the time and also has terrible dialogue. He says some really gross things about high schoolers early on in the movie.
It's very Matthew McConaughey in Fast Times.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of language.
At some point, oh, I know. So the gravel pit actually comes back into play.
Yes.
They are in the shop and they fall through the gravel pit and bust mm-hmm. into a staircase. And it turns out that they are going into the basement of a school, which I don't think most high schools have like a traditional wooden stairs into a cellar
yeah.
type basement.
And in the shop class. Room.
Right, exactly. With a hidden staircase
yeah.
under a pit of kitty litter.
Yeah.
But that's where they
exactly
end up.
What it
mm-hmm.
looked like. It was
yep.
kitty litter.
And so they end up going down into this basement, and there's still some funny lines there. Like they fall down
yeah.
the stairs in a like very slapstick sort of like,
yeah,
they end
yeah.
up going down the stairs and they can't see anything because she dropped the flashlight and it went across the room.
And I love the line she says before when he's about to go in, it's just like full on, like jump in there. And mm-hmm. she goes, why doesn't anybody ever bring a flashlight into the basement? And so then, you know, they both have flashlights and then they lose them anyway. Then there's also the gag with the she thinks she sees a giant spider and starts hitting it and freaking out, and then it's just like a movie prop spider hanging
mm-hmm.
there. And I was just like, that's me.
Yes,
that
exactly.
is 100% me.
And I did the same thing with the hanging rat from the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Okay. So then they are down in the basement and they stumble upon a classroom full of skeletons.
It's so creepy. That was legit
yeah.
really a creepy
scene.
It was
scene. Scary. So dead bodies in fancy dresses and
they're all different colors.
Crowns,
they're
and they're
like
all different color dresses. But this is where the movie just completely kind of falls apart. And,
or gets better.
And tries to explain itself in a way that is absolutely insane,
yeah.
as most reveals
I
are.
Still
and
don't
this isn't even the
totally.
Twist.
Yeah.
No. Essentially, there is the worst reveal where, almost like Scooby-Doo style, it literally
yeah.
was,
yes.
where the police officer, what's his name? I don't remember his name. Sorry, guy. Is wrestling with the janitor because they think the janitor is the one who's been keeping these dead bodies in the basement and killing everyone because the janitor has been a red herring the entire
yes.
movie. So then there's this tussle and they're fighting on the ground. It's a very Scooby-Doo moment. He grabs the bottom of a latex mask, pulls it off, and we find out who the real killer is. I'm not going to say who it is, but it is completely ridiculous and so unbelievable, given that we're supposed to believe these people were masquerading as one another because the janitor and this person have such different body types.
Yeah, yeah.
And they start...
the motive is so... The motive
so
doesn't fully make sense.
It makes no sense at all. And then they get roped into having a wedding with dead bodies in the basement. And it's incredibly creepy, but also so insane that...
And very over... Like we thought that... acting was a little over the top in places before.
Uh-huh.
It like amps up way more.
Mm-hmm. So we find out who the killer is. We have a moment there where you think the killer is dead, pinned to a wall, and then that's it.
But we all know the killer always comes back.
The killer always
comes
back. So then the actors come out of the basement, and then I'm trying to remember what happens next because this is not the end of the reveals of
it
this
is not.
Movie.
There are three more endings after this. Did they just like?
What happens to them? I really don't remember.
Do they get killed? Do they just come outside?
I really don't remember.
I think they live. Oh my god! I just
live.
Watched this last night.
Do they walk out and then so?
Isn't it like they tell the cops that they need to go look in the basement to
mm-hmm.
find what they just found. The cops go in there and then the next reveal is made.
Okay.
Are we revealing this one?
I don't think we should.
Okay, so then the next big twist happens. And again, you're gonna have to watch this for yourself. all I can say is this twist is hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's a great add-on. And after this, very shortly after, the cops come out and get really confused. And then we see that, I guess, one of the only people kind of left alive was the screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's seen with his back turned, typing on the typewriter, and he's like typing the script, or like he's typing a redo, because the whole time, the whole movie, he's like, this is not the movie I wrote, they changed it a ton. And I just, the whole movie, I was like, poor Arthur, like he is the epitome of screenwriters who write like a great movie and then they just get torn to shreds by the producers.
Uh-huh.
Because like we need more like blood and action. And I was like thinking like, oh well, you're obviously gonna get attacked, you're like, you know, your face is turned away,
right?
And so this is when the final twist happens, and right after this twist, which literally happens like a moment after the one before it, then the movie ends.
Yes.
It's a very tongue-in-cheek, like not original ending, but perfect for like the cliche slasher. Like they're doing this on purpose to carry out the satire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and I know that this is a terrible review of the ending, and we're trying to give you stuff to make you excited, but all we can say is the reason we're not telling it straightforward is because it's so worth it. And it all just happens, like, one right after the other. It is worth the watch.
Yes.
So we highly recommend, but we're not going to give it away this time because there's just so many twists. And actually, not having to do with the twists at all, but I was just thinking about another one of my favorite deaths is,
mm-hmm,
the most hardcore one was apparently an acting scene, but this one got me too.
Yeah.
Is the biology teacher who is like also gets a little too close with his female students, like has a dissection scene in his class, and then our killer like dissects him,
mm-hmm,
on the table while they're playing hard rock, and then he like pulls his heart out and puts it in his mouth.
Right.
And it is the most hardcore scene ever.
Yes.
And then they cut away and the girl's like, oh, that's how it really happens. And I was like, what?
What? Come on.
So that was another one that I thought was fantastic.
That was a pretty good one.
Yes.
And there, I will say, you know, this movie does have its slow moments. Like, it's not going to be hits coming every minute. It drags a bit towards the end, but it's worth hanging on to the end just for the three twist ending.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really worth it. This movie is also, by the way, available on Hoopla, which you can watch free with your library card. So it may be available on other free streaming services, but if you would like to use your library card, Hoopla is where it's at. So many good bad movies on Hoopla.
Yes. I'm surprised by that, too.
Yeah, that's how I watched it.
Yeah.
It was easy to pull up. So we have to plug our library resources even for such terrible movies.
Yeah, terribly amazing.
Yeah.
And there are so many great suspects in this movie,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, even though, like, I shockingly got it, like, there are several, you know, good leads that it does still, like, it still caught me off guard. I was like, I was right? and, you know, so it's a very fun movie to watch and to kind of figure out along with it. And the only other hint I feel like I'll say is that there is a definite Psycho influence, like the movie Psycho,
mm-hmm,
influence and moment near the end. For one of the twists. So
yeah.
if you're a Psycho fan, I would not put it on the ranking of well-made movies.
Right.
But it definitely has like a kind of an homage to that in the ending.
Well, and this one is a tough one because it is a bad movie, but it does require at least a tiny bit of attention. Like, you do kind of have to be watching to get all of the twists.
Yeah, and the jokes,
you can
too.
Lose it pretty quickly if you're not, like, if this is just something you have on in the background, or if you're like, you know, it's on while you have trick-or-treaters over or something, like, you're not going to get it.
I really hope somebody doesn't have it on with trick-or-treaters because they're going to see a lot of anatomy that they're probably too young to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So, you know, you got to pay attention. But, you know, once you watch it once, it's good to have as a kind of in your back pocket. Oh, have you seen this movie? Because it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even like, I think it's very, it's funny in a rewarding sense for horror fans that like know the stereotypes and the cliches of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the cliches are such surface level for like the most popular classic kind of slasher and horror movies that anybody can really watch it and pick up on, like, oh, like, that's so funny what they did there.
Yes.
And so you don't have to be, like, a horror aficionado or anything. Like, it's surprisingly smart for a slasher from the 80s, mm-hmm. but it is not a genius movie by any means. It's just fun. And I think that the catching off the guard of it being a little more, like, is it a thinking man slasher? If we're going to a certain level compared to slashers, would we call it that?
Oh, it's so close. It could be, yeah. Yeah, it's like the Memento of slashers.
And it has a fantastic cover, which I'm sure we'll probably put on the little poster we make up for it.
Yes,
Like a skeleton cheerleader. It's, mm-hmm. I enjoy looking at the cover so much just because it's so silly. It kind of reminds me of like a Goosebumps book cover.
For sure.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we always put a poster in our show notes, so I'll include a poster for this with the actual film release poster, and I'm going to hunt down a picture of the killer so you can see the full look, because it's masky, pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we go, I think we should talk about what we have coming up next.
It's so exciting.
Can't
you
wait.
Have to listen to it.
We are going to be doing a live podcast recording as part of our Great Geek Fest, which is going all virtual this October
9th.
This will be on October 9th. It'll be all day on the library's YouTube channel. We're going to really run the gamut between D&D, geeky story time. There's going to be board game playing. Vigi games. Trivia.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. This is our very own Comic-Con and Geeky Fest in general. And like I said, it's all virtual. It's on YouTube. And we have the honor of recording live over YouTube so you can watch us in action.
Yes, and we're going to have a special guest star, Mandy, who is the manager of Powell, and mm-hmm. she's also a huge horror buff. She's a perfect person to have on here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the three of us are going to duke it out over two different topics. We have created the ultimate horror movie brackets, and the topics we're going to be talking about are the best modern final girls and the best horror films directed by women. We went with 8 films each, and we are going to talk it out until we have an ultimate winner for each of those categories.
I'm coming for it. I'm coming with some hard defenses for mine. So
yes.
I hope you're ready.
I feel like rewatching all of these movies is going to be the best way to spend my time over the next couple weeks, including what I watched last night, which I actually loved, surprisingly.
It was Jennifer's Body.
It was Jennifer's
right?
Body,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It was excellent. I don't think I'd ever actually seen it.
I love
and
that movie.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out what context we're talking about Jennifer's Body in or any of the other movies, tune in to our YouTube live for Great Geek Fest. And if you can't do it live, then we are going to be putting that up for our October episode.
And
I can't think of anything else other than that.
We're doing the bracket. We're going to provide like blank bracket style things for people to fill out themselves online or in person at the library.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of fill out your own thing and follow along with us. We're hoping that we'll be able to see people's comments as we are doing this live, so we can go ahead and kind of shout out some people, and maybe you will even come up with a reason that One Final Girl is the best or one movie is the best that we didn't think of, and you may even sway our opinions while we're discussing this live in the moment. You could totally mess up our train of thinking and leave us just in complete horror sanity and questioning everything we've ever done with our lives.
Absolutely.
So, fun times. Join us for that.
Yes, great.
And please pick up something. Fill that out if you think it's fun, and you can have that with you while you watch and or listen along.
And if you happen to want to pick up a bracket and fill it out beforehand, you can also email that to us at libraryguys@delawarelibrary.org. Even if you don't want to fill out a bracket, but you have a suggestion for another movie for us to watch, it's going to be November that we have a new topic, and we could use your suggestions. Doesn't have to be a horror movie. But we do love a good horror movie.
Yes, we do.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
And have a very spooky night.
Ooh.
It's already Halloween.
As
soon as, like, September hit, I was like, just like those crazy Christmas people that are like, oh, my God. I was like, no, it is Halloween.
It's spooky season.
Bye.
Bye. Join us next time for Library Guys Go to the Movies. For more information on any of the films or digital services we've discussed, please visit DelawareLibrary.org.